Hello, my name is Father Alejandro Puello, and this is my reflection for the 31st Sunday of Ordinary Time. This weekend we read from Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12, and Jesus is addressing the crowds and the disciples. And here there's a wonderful message. You see, Jesus uses the example of the Pharisees and the scribes to contrast what a mature relationship with God, a healthy spirituality looks like versus a superficial, unhealthy, immature spirituality. First, he points out that the Pharisees and the scribes, they get it. They understand the surface level rules of the relationship with God. This is why Jesus says, therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. Okay, for they preach, but they do not practice. So that first level of the relationship with God, where boundaries are being established, because boundaries are part of a healthy relationship, where God sets the tone for the relationship. After all, he is God. We are not. He knows what's best for us. We do not. He's revealed that. But like small children who have to be taught little by little to get us to progress to more difficult and complex and abstract concepts, what happens if you just stay at don't hit your sister or don't stick your finger in the electrical socket? It misses the bigger lesson. It misses the way your heart was being formed, the shape that your morality was being given, the direction your life was being put on. So Jesus is saying, and he doesn't want to leave it to interpretation that this is what he's saying. In fact, he moves on and says, they tie up heavy burdens to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, but they do not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. So he mentions how they widen their phylacteries, they lengthen their tassels, and they take the places of honor at banquets and seats of honor in synagogues. And here's the first and most deadly danger of a superficial spirituality. When Jesus mentions that they love places of honor at banquets and seats of honor in synagogues, nobody is surprised by this, because it had become normal, a normal part of the society and a normal practice in their environment to seek the places of honor and the seats of honor in the synagogues. It would have been social convention that if you were trying to do this quote unquote well, that if you were portraying yourself as a rabbi, as a master of the law, as following in the footsteps of Moses, you were going to go take the place of honor at the banquet and the seat of honor in the synagogue. In other words, because the spirituality is entirely to be seen, to appear good and holy, to appear lawful, to appear obedient, it misses whether you really are or not. Are you really good? Are you really obedient? Are you really in a relationship with God, or are you really grounded in the will of God? Or are you just worried about how it appears? A superficial spirituality leads to us conforming our spirituality to social norm rather than the other way around. So the prideful practice of that social jockeying for position becomes so normal because it becomes part of their religious convention. It becomes part of their religious practice. They don't see anything wrong with it. If your spirituality is superficial, you will find a way of making what the culture finds normal, even if it's tremendously sinful, you will find a way of making it a normal part of your spirituality. Now, let's get to the next step. And this is where the real lesson, I think, lies. Do not be called rabbi. Do not be called master. Call no one on earth your father. What are these getting at? The Pharisees, they say, hey, we follow in the footsteps of our father Abraham and Moses and Isaac and Jacob. We know the law. We are rabbi. We are masters at this. But yet these masters, these rabbis, these men who have received, according to them, this great teaching from their spiritual fathers, are the same ones tying up heavy burdens to carry and laying them on other people's shoulders while not lifting a finger to move them. What is that heavy burden? The heavy burden of presenting the faith to others and living it as though you should be a perfect teacher of the faith, a master at this. Jesus says of himself, "My yoke is easy and my burden light." What is he talking about in contrast to this heavy burden, this hard yoke of a rigid law that says you should be a master always, and if you fall even short, you can find a way of justifying it, or you should find a way of justifying it so that you can appear good. He's saying, no, the right attitude, the attitude that makes the greatest among us a servant, that makes the most exalted among us the humblest, is this: be the perpetual student, the eternal disciple, following in the footsteps of the master. Jesus laying up on our shoulders the easy yoke and the light burden of not having to be the expert, of saying, I am constantly learning and I get this wrong all the time, but I'm still striving and I'm still going to prayer and I'm still going to confession because I keep messing it up. I am still learning. I don't have to have an answer right now because I'm not perfect, but I do know where to look and I do know where I should go for prayer, to whom I should be praying. And I'm still trying to piece it all together. It's when our spirituality has to do with pretending. I gotta pretend to have it all pieced together. I have to pretend to be holy. I have to appear holy to other people all the time. No, that's what gets us into trouble. The key is, am I actually trying to be holy? Am I actually recognizing that some of the things I have received from my family members and from my loved ones is an incomplete version of the faith or an erroneous version of the faith? Am I going back to the Lord my God? And am I going back to the scriptures? Am I going back to the catechism? Am I going back to comparing what I hold in my heart to what revealed truth is, so that little by little it becomes more and more the actual will of God, the actual, what is actually revealed to us, that what I hold and believe and profess is what I'm actually living and practicing. Note, remember, for they preach, but they do not practice. For they preach, but they do not practice. But it is the practice that makes the preaching effective. And practice implies both that, doing it and failing at it. This is why it's practice. And so here's my encouragement to you today. Are you an expert Christian? No. Welcome to the club. The key is not to be content staying there, but to constantly be striving towards mastery while accepting that I'm always going to be the student. While accepting and embracing, I'm going to be the student. I'm always going to be the student. And as the perpetual disciple, as the perpetual student of the ways of God, that means that there is room for me to grow, that there is room for me to make mistakes and be forgiven, and that there is room for me to say, I don't know, but I can look for the answer, that there is room there. Because God is not asking me to be the master. He is. And he's not asking me to be rabbi. He is. And he's not asking me to merely conform to social convention, but to question. He's giving me permission to be a student, to not have to carry on my shoulders the burden of getting it all perfect all the time. Instead, he's inviting me to strive for it. To strive for it. To walk in the footsteps of the master. To learn at the feet of the rabbi. And to kneel in front of my one Father in heaven.